Morning all.
It's all right.
It's wonderful to have the privilege of talking with you this morning. I wonder how many of you have been listening over the last couple of Sundays. Chris has been talking about holiness, about whether you are holy or not. And I had the idea that a lot of you were struggling with the idea that you could be holy and be sinners at the same time. Correct? Yes? I know some people have already said it to me. I don't know if you noticed in those verses that were read to you and the one that's up on the screen now, and my apology if it's small, I'm still learning what the right size is for these. The words that are used are, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Perfect, holy, how does that happen? Okay, so there's two truths there that you've got to reconcile together. You are perfect, you are holy, you're made perfect, but you're being made holy. Hence my question, who do you think you are? Which do you think you are? Where do you fit in that spectrum? Now for a moment, and some of you might recognise the symbol that's up there if you watch television and you're interested in ancestry, you might have watched a show called Who Do You Think You Are? How many of you have watched that? Yeah, a large proportion of you. It started a long time ago in England. It's been on TV in Australia for at least a decade. The first ever show had a TV presenter who was looking at his adopted family, not his real family, his adopted family. And he ended up looking at a father who was in the war in Burma, and he ended up looking at a grandfather, of all places, who was in Australia, in Brisbane, Australia. So although this was a British show, his grandfather was in Australia. But why are we so interested in our ancestry? Why are we interested in it? Can you answer that question? Think about it for a minute. In psychology today, one of the experts in the field says this. He says, the second side, please. The ongoing stream of history provides us with a sense of belonging and establishes our identity. Okay, so our identity is found, and that's why we're interested in ancestry. The thing that he says which was really of interest was, it's really extraordinary that we've found ourselves in this place at this time, given the many reasons this may not be the case. Now think about that for a minute. We found ourselves in this place at this time, given the many reasons we might not be here. Okay. Now, as believers, we should also have a fascination in our ancestry because we have a common ancestry. Okay, a common ancestry. I've travelled all over the world, and it's a wonderful opportunity to have travelled. And you know, everywhere I meet, everywhere I go, I meet somebody who's related to me. Think about that for a minute. I meet somebody who is related to me, not through my family tree, but through Christ. So I have an ancestry which is everywhere I go. You should be interested in your ancestry as well. It's a common ancestry that we all share. Now what I want to do today is to just look at two things in that passage this morning that illustrates that and helps us to understand that verse 14. And those two things, in Christ and adopted, they're the two ideas which I want you to take away with you. You can forget about all the illustrations. If you stick with those two things, you've probably learnt what I think the passage needs to teach you. The idea of identity in Christ is one which, how many of you think you understand it? How many of you have thought about it? What's it mean? Yeah, a lot of you have thought about it. How many of you understand it? I'm not sure I understand it either. But what I wanted you to do this morning is to say, well, what does in Christ mean to me in relation to my background? It means something. I have something to do with Christ. What's it mean? Now, some of you will remember Rodney McCready, who was here as an interim for a period of time. About 2 years ago now, I think it might be. And Rodney and I continue to communicate, and he sent me a copy of a commentary he's written on Colossians. And in there, he gives an illustration of what in Christ might mean. I'll read it to you on what's up there on the screen rather than read it from my notes. We like to make our own decisions about who we are and when and who we are to become, and ignore that so much of who we are is connected with and in some way, in some sense, being in our ancestors. All right, so who we are is not just about us right now. It's about our past and what's happened about our past. Now, the next point is one where I want you to personalise, because it says, my ancestors left. Where did your ancestors leave before they came to Australia? And came to Australia, and I had no say in that, yet that's a big part of who I am today. It means that I'm an Australian citizen, and I'm not, in Rodney's case, a British citizen. In my case, well, Danish, I guess. There's a very real sense of what happened to my ancestors happened to me. Okay? Now, you may not be Australian citizens, but I'm sure you can turn that paragraph into something which relates to you. Where did your ancestors come from? What does it mean to you that they are, you are where you are now because of them? Now, in Christ, we recognise that what happens to Christ and what happened to Christ has happened to us. The outcome. It's just like sharing the outcome of our ancestors coming to Australia. So just sharing that experience of Christ, we share it too. There is another part of Scripture which also uses that same type of illustration. Anybody know what it is? In Christ, the contrast is in Adam. Okay, so the same idea. What Adam did a long, long time ago, we share in it as individuals today. So it's that same idea. In Christ, we no longer exist in the dominion of darkness, no longer characterised by death and slavery to sin. Now let's go to that passage. In the next slide, it says we look at those verses that Peter read out to us. And we are reminded of a couple of things. Now, that whole passage is Old Testament context. And if you didn't understand it, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you probably won't have understood that passage. But what it's talking about is the idea of holiness. And the verses that I want to point out are verse 10. We've been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. What's that telling us? It's telling us that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross means we can approach a holy God. Now, there's a whole background of Old Testament there that I'm not going to go into this morning. But because of what Jesus did, we can approach a holy God because we're seen as holy. Verse 17, sins and lawlessness will be remembered no more. Our sins, our lawlessness, God doesn't remember it. Sacrifice is no longer needed to be holy. Verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that's an image of the tabernacle, of coming into the place which was the Holy of Holies. We can come before God. God sees us as holy. Therefore, and that this verse isn't up there, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. So therefore, because we are holy, we can come before a holy God. It affirms that by virtue of being in Christ, we are free from the penalty and the bondage of sin. It's like a family legacy. Through faith in Jesus, in Christ, you are seen by the Father as holy and you are made holy. And I would emphasize another thing. It's not optional. It's part of holiness comes at salvation. Now, there's theological differences there. That's my perspective on it. Not optional. Holiness is something that comes with salvation. Now, in Ephesians, Paul also talks about this whole idea of holiness. And there's a couple of things which he wants us to realize. He wants to realize, us to realize that we were chosen before time to be holy and blameless. This was God's plan all along. He also wants us to know that it's God's love and grace that brings us into that relationship. Okay, so those two things in Ephesians. And if you really want to do an in-depth study of ancestry, have a look at Ephesians 1 and 2. Because those two chapters really grapple with this idea. God sees us as righteous in his own Son. We've been raised up with Christ, new way of life, a holy life. That's chapter 2. So your family legacy is quite clear. But there's another side to the story. And that's the next slide, which I think really is an expression of somebody else's expression of what this really means. I don't know how many of you read Don Carson. Some of his writing's fairly heavy, but I find it wonderful truths there. Let me read this to you. I think I've identified the key issues up there, but let me read it to you. We need to know who we are as God sees us. Paul wants us to appreciate the value that God places on us, not because we're intrinsically worthy, but because we have been identified with Christ. We have been chosen in Christ. His righteousness has been reckoned to us. Our destiny is to be joint heirs with him. If we maintain this vision before our eyes of who we are, nothing less than God's inheritance, we will be concerned to live in line with that unimaginable high calling. If you grasp what God has done and your relationship with him, that last part, we will be concerned to live in line. The second part of holiness, you are holy, but you're also becoming holy. Wonderful passage, and that one takes a lot of contemplating and thinking through. But we're also, there's another thing, that heirs and inheritance bit also makes you realise that you are adopted. So adoption is another idea. But in adoption, we're not necessarily like the family, are we? Particularly if we adopted when we're very young, the contrast between length of nose, size of ears, colour of hair, whatever it be, is going to be different. We're not going to necessarily be recognised as part of that family. Now, I don't know how many of you are interested in software and the AI as it exists today, but there is a few software packages out there which allow you to take your pictures of your ancestors, and allow you to work out which of those ancestors you look most like. I don't suggest you do it, but it's there. Now, what that made me think of was, well, okay, maybe not a picture of Jesus and a picture of me. At least I've got a beard. But the reality is that if we had a picture of Jesus' character, and a picture of my character, would somebody somebody be able to identify that I was like Jesus? That's the question I want you to think about. Holiness, Jesus is holy. Are you recognizable as holy as well? That's the type of question that you need to grapple with. Our big brother, he's our model. He's the one that he wants us to be like him. We need to gradually become like him. There's another verse in the scriptures which kind of takes on that same idea. In Ephesians again, Ephesians 5 this time, be imitators of God as his beloved children. If you're a child of Christ, then you will imitate the Father and the Son. Imitation, righteousness and holiness. You ain't got a choice. Now, Jerry Bridges in, I don't know if any of you read his books, he's around in the 70s, so many of you probably have never seen his books. But he wrote a couple of books, one of which was The Pursuit of Holiness. And I want to read to you just a little bit from that. And he's talking about a verse a bit further on in Hebrews, and he talks about, without holiness, no one will see the Lord, Hebrews 12. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives at salvation, he comes to make us holy in practice. If there is not at least a yearning in our hearts to live a holy life, pleasing to God, we need to be seriously question whether our faith is genuine. And that's a hard-hitting statement. At least a yearning in our hearts. Then he recognises, it is true, the desire for holiness will be only a spark at the beginning, but that spark should grow into till it becomes a flame. The whole purpose of our salvation is that we are holy and blameless in God's sight. Now you can be scratching your head and can say, well, how do I know? How do I know that that yearning's there? Well, the evidence is in that second passage that Peter read. Jesus gave us a picture of what holiness looks like, and it's in the Sermon on the Mount. Chris might have said last week that he thought I was going to preach something on the Sermon on the Mount. There's too much there. There are people who have spent a whole year preaching just on the Sermon on the Mount. I wasn't going to go near it, but I will point out to you that it is where you find what holiness looks like. So if you want to know what Jesus expects of us to be holy, go and look carefully at the Sermon on the Mount. So, where do we go from there? Let me summarise for you. And I've pinched somebody else's summary. A theologian, I guess, somebody who can pull together the idea of adoption and being in Christ. So on the next slide, I have four things. There are actually five, but I'm going to avoid one of them because it creates a whole other issue to talk about. We are children of God, is the first point. Loved by God, given the rights of inheritance, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That's you. We are brothers and sisters in God's family. And our big brother Jesus is a model to who we conform, taking on the family likeness. That's you. We imitate our Heavenly Father by walking in love, light and wisdom. And we imitate the Son, Jesus Christ, by living lives of loving sacrifice and service to others. Again, that's you. As brothers and sisters, we are to live in harmony with care and support for our spiritual siblings, all of us. Wonderful summary. You list those off, that's you, and that's what God wants you to be. And the final point I want to make is a summary. It's a summary of where I think we sit when we talk about holiness. In union with God's Son, we'll find our true identity, because being made in the image of God, we are made as God's children from the very beginning of time. In Christ, those who know God as his, are known by God as his children, we become our true selves. We become what God wanted us to be, holy and blameless. And I'll leave you with a question, ones I started with. So who do you think you are? Are you that child of God? Or are you still somebody trying to work out who you really are? Think about it.